Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Tech News Today for Monday, June 7th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I am Becky Worley.
And I'm Sarah Lane.
Behind the board is our producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Welcome to week number two of Tech News Today. This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day and try to make it all make a little more sense for everybody. Joining us also today is special guest Scott Johnson from the Frog Pants Network. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tom. It's good to see all of you. I'm excited to talk about all this Apple crap today. I feel like it's one of those, it's like Christmas for nerds, and this is a good time to be here, so thanks for having me.
Oh, we should have put that story in the lineup. I guess there was an announcement today from Apple.
What?
We have to talk about that?
I slept in. Did something happen?
Yeah, they came out with a phone. I thought they already had a phone. Did I hear that they put another phone out? What? Becky, did you happen by there? By chance?
I was going to get coffee and I saw some people hanging out. It was a mob scene. This is the Apple Developers Conference. It was wall-to-wall people. The line was all the way around the building, a complete sea of developers there, and a media crush. So, yeah, I sat, I watched, I saw the Steve, and I got the scoop.
So we got it was almost entirely about the iPhone 4. That's the name of the new phone. The iPhone OS no longer is iPhone OS. It's iOS. iOS 4 was also highlighted. The new iPhone 4 has a front-facing camera, has a Retina display, which means increased resolution, 326 pixels per inch, 3.5-inch display, 960 by 640 screen. It's thin. It's got an external antenna for GPS and for your cell phone. Bigger battery. They're hoping for a better amount of talk time. Comes with a gyroscope, so you can get six-axis motion sensing. 5-megapixel camera with big pixel sensors. It's not, squashed in 5 megapixels. LED flash. 720p video camera for high def. iMovie for the iPhone, available for $499. They've got a new iBook coming out for the iPhone. Bing coming to the iPhone, although Google's still default. FaceTime video chat was the one more thing. And the scoop is you can pre-order June 15th, delivery on June 24th, and iOS 4 will be available for download to everyone on June 21st. So,
and the other big part of this, because for a lot of people, they're like, okay, that's cool, but I can't get it. If you are due an upgrade anytime in 2010, you can upgrade as of now. And the phone is $199 for the 16-gig version at that upgrade price.
And $299 for the 32-gig version.
And for some reason, some of us are getting an $18 upgrade fee, even if we do fall within
that
this year.
I know, you checked that out, right?
Yeah, I checked it out.
Me and you both.
AT&T says, you just have to pay the $18, well, plus the $199 for the 16-gig iPhone, which is what I would get. That's the one I have now, and it works well. But then other folks who are within their first 2 years of service have said, well, I've been told my fee's gotten waived, my $18 fee. $18 is not the end of the world, just a few lattes, but I'd like to know why I've been charged.
That's 6 lattes you'd like to drink.
That's right.
Yes.
I've got to wake up somehow.
I think we're going to see a massive eradication of cracked iPhone screens happening. All those people who've been waiting with the cracked screens are now going to rush in and get the new one. I definitely think that'll happen. How do you want to do this, Tom? You want to just break these features down and go through it?
Well, let's go. I think the features are pretty self-explanatory. Let's go around the horn and say, like, what do you like and not like about this phone, feature-wise, and whether you think you'll get it. And let's start with you, Becky.
Well, the front-facing camera, it's the obvious thing, cherry-picking from the top. It was incredible. Okay, so let's just talk about calling. They're calling it FaceTime to call to each other. Made some calls that way. It's a little awkward. It's just not something that we're used to doing. It's out of a sci-fi movie to hold the phone in front of you and look into it. But That was a feature that I can see really taking hold. I was surprised. So let's back out of this and say it only works when you're calling iPhone 4 to iPhone 4 right now. It's only working in Wi-Fi networks. And by the way, I called that when I first saw the phone on the Gizmodo phone. I said, there's no way AT&T is going to support this. They just don't have the network for it. And Steve said in 2010, it will only be Wi-Fi calling. I was surprised that Skype wasn't enabled out of the box so that you could call from the phone to someone else using Skype on a computer. But the APIs are open, so developers are, I'm sure, just going to go ballistic. And I'm really hoping that we see a Skype calling app really soon. You can also record video into the phone from the front-facing camera. So it's almost like if you're a reporter like me, you can do a stand-up. And so when I was in the magic room looking at the phone, I recorded a bunch of stuff and then imported it into iMovie and was able to cut multiple clips together, trimming the top and the ends of the clips, and composited it into one video. And so I think that
they wouldn't allow you to email the video to us, huh?
No, I think they're keeping a lid on the stuff going out from the magic phones. I don't know why that we're in the magic room. So, I think Steve was really doing a hard sell on how this is revolutionary. I think it'll be revolutionary when it's not Wi-Fi only and when it has more flexibility in terms of being able to use this with multiple programs. But it takes the leverage of a behemoth like Apple to make video calling a reality. We've seen these on phones in the past, but we haven't been able to call anybody with it. So I think that it is an innovation, and it will gradually evolve.
All right. How about you, Sarah? What strikes you most?
Becky, I wanted to ask you one question because you're actually, at least of the four of us, the only one who's held the new phone at this point.
Twice. I held the lost phone, and now I've had the real legit phone, if you will. And they're the same, by the way.
They're the same. So it's thinner, yet it somehow looks boxier, at least in pictures. I mean, how has the actual physical shape changed so that it doesn't look thinner to me? So it's some sort of weird optical illusion when I'm looking at it in 2D on a screen.
Right. So when you're looking at the old iPhone, it has the rounded back, which is actually a little thicker towards the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So the actual bezel or the sides of the existing iPhone 3GS, it optically looks, it is an optical illusion, it looks thinner on the sides. This one is definitely flatter and straight all the way across the bottom. And I felt this both the first time that I held it and this time that the feel of the phone in your hand is right. It's sturdy. It's easier to hold the squared off edges than it is the rounded backs. And I've said this before, I think people will drop it less.
Right.
So I felt like the form factor was thinner and it feels better in your hand. And I think people will drop it less. That's my bottom line assumptions.
If it'll slip out of my back pocket less, I will buy it.
So that's
so
your,
I don't end up with another toilet.
That's your
phone.
Summary evaluation of it, huh?
Right. I'm actually, I'm excited about iOS 4. Multitasking, love that. Been waiting for it.
Sort of multitasking.
Sort of multitasking. You can run Pandora
application
in the background.
Pausing.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pandora running in the background. Music program running in the background.
People
That's
talk
cool.
about that. I mean, obviously, Pandora is just one example, but I just happen to use Pandora all the time. And every time I got to do something else on my phone, you know, I'm middle of jogging or something like that, you know, it breaks the experience for me. So I'm excited about that. Also, front-facing camera. I love it in theory. Obviously, it's just going to have to be something that I'll see if I'm going to use with any regularity. But the back camera being 5 megapixels, I love that. I take a lot of pictures with my iPhone, and I usually just run them through a variety of photography apps to spruce them up a little bit. Camera Bag is one of the ones that I use a lot of, or Toy Camera. So, you know, if it's a better quality out of the gate, then that just helps my creativity that much more. So I'm excited about that. And the flash doesn't hurt anything either.
When they were showing photos and Steve mentioned, you know, it's low light photos, great for, you know, out and about. And these are all photos taken by our employees. I was just praying they had a picture of like that beer garden where Paul lost the phone, or like a bar with like a beer being poured. But
with,
no. Sadly.
With the poor guy with a beer in his hand. Like this was taken by one of our former employees.
You don't have that good a sense of humor.
Scott, what about you? What do you have anything different? Are your impressions pretty much the same as all these?
Well, I'll agree with your two fine co-hosts and most of what they've said. I'm most excited, however, about two features. As a gamer, I'm really looking forward to six-axis support. I'm looking forward to how much sort of, and I want to ask Becky about this, but how much more sort of analog control you'll have over tilt and things like that within certain kinds of games and such. And Becky, you saw him do the Jenga thing live. Did that look as cool as the audience sort of made it sound like?
So here's the deal. So it's pitch and yaw. Is basically what he said they're adding, and a 360 axis. So basically, he was holding the iPhone and doing the hokey pokey, turning around in a circle, kind of tilting and such. It looked like one extra layer on top of the accelerometer. It didn't feel like a breakthrough in the gaming experience. And my question is, okay, so you turn in space, your shoulders, you're turning your body, doing that 360 thing. I know there will be applications for it, but if the accelerometer was 100% cool, I think this is probably 30. That's just how it felt from the demo. But then
I don't think you're alone in this. The gaming business in general is heading toward this kind of more extensive motion control, the Sony Move stuff and the Project Natal stuff from the Xbox and all that stuff. So I feel like this is kind of in line with that. It'll be interesting to see what developers do. But the biggest thing I'm most excited about, which may sound totally pedestrian, it's battery life. That thing is going to have so much better battery life than what I have now. And it's just this much closer to what my iPad gets, which is just phenomenal. Totally. So I'm super stoked about that. That is enough for me to upgrade my phone.
Evo versus iPhone, if you had to choose.
Well, the battery life on the iPhone sure sounds like it's
Evo's battery life's
on the up
crappy.
And up.
Yeah,
I mean, I think even the folks who were really, really excited about the Evo, want the folks who do have it at this point are like, yeah, the battery life is pretty bad, pretty dismal. You know, if you can't get through a day with normal usage, that's not realistic, at least for me.
I think what's interesting about this is Apple has done what they always do, which is take a lot of features that already existed. And there's not a single feature that they put out today that really has never been done before. Mm-hmm. But they package it up in a way that has never been packaged that way before.
Right.
And capture your imagination with their design and their rhetoric. So I think it's going to be another success. I think it is definitely turned a lot of people who were thinking, I don't know if I need another iPhone. I may go to somewhere else. Back towards thinking, oh yeah, I want that iPhone because I want that megapixel camera, I want that battery life, or I want this or that.
And Steve's so good at spinning that so that he first addresses the fact that people might say, well, you're not the first to do this. We know we're not the first, but here's why we're the best.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so compelling
to
watch.
It's iterate, refine, iterate, refine, iterate, refine, and there's nobody better at that than Apple, at least these days.
Now, Becky, you had actually held the stolen/lost iPhone, and you held this one, and you mentioned earlier that they're exactly the same. Was there any difference at all, or did you feel like, oh yeah, this is familiar? I've seen this before.
I'm trying to just do one of those compare and contrast what's changed games in my mind, and I feel like the new ones just was a little bit more buttoned up, a little cleaner.
Uh-huh.
But generally, from a form factor perspective, they were so similar. And I thought that Steve actually hit the right tenor when he was talking about the phone. His big joke was, after he announced it, he says, now some of you may have seen this before.
Yeah.
And that got a big laugh. And it sort of was like, okay, all right. And then he just moved on. So I thought that was a good way to kind of address it and put it in the past. But yeah, it's the same phone.
Definitely the same phone. All right. Well, not that there were too many doubts, but you're one of the few people who can confirm that. So, from
you know,
experience.
One thing we're talking about, the Evo and other phones. In previous Jobs keynotes, I've really only heard him talk about a competitor. He used to talk about Windows a little bit. And then he started talking, he mentioned the Flip Cam when they announced video in the Nano. And that was a competitor discussion. And today he came right out of the gates talking about Android. And he hit these new Nielsen numbers saying RIM has 35% of the smartphone share, iPhone 28%, Windows Mobile 19, Android 9. And he was like putting the exclamation point right there.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to me that he chose to start defensively.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
It was a unique keynote in that way that he was somewhat defensive about the openness of the platform about the App Store decisions. He did a lot of talking about why they approve things and how they approve things. And he had a problem. They never have problems in Apple keynotes. He had a problem with he couldn't do a demo. He had a demo fail. That hasn't happened in years.
No, I was trying to think. I think the last one was Phil Schiller's gaming demo where he was sweating like Mark Zuckerberg in three hoodies. That was the last one I can remember from an Apple keynote. So here's how it played out. So he tries to demo the resolution and how it plays out in the new screen on web browsing. He can't get the New York Times page to load. He starts to dance and just stall a little bit. Then he says, we must be having network problems. And then he makes a joke referencing the Google I.O. conference where they asked everybody to turn their Wi-Fi off. Somebody else comes out, does some demos. Steve comes back out and he says, as you can imagine, the guys backstage are running around trying to fix things. And, you know, everybody sort of fears Steve. So you just have this image of him going completely ape backstage. But he makes a joke about it. And then he completely fesses up and says, so now I need to ask you all to turn off your Wi-Fi. He said there were 530 some different MiFi or various and sundry Wi-Fi connections that were causing some sort of interference. And
yeah, it was just you got that many radio signals in the air. They tend to interfere with each other. That's no surprise, really.
It's a mess. So people complied. They turned the lights up like it was some sort of school thing, like where you're going to get busted if you had your Wi-Fi on. People were like, I'm on the 3G. I'm on the 3G. But eventually he got the demo to work and then
up against the wall, Wi-Fi user.
It was funny to be on the side of, you know, I was just upstairs reading all the live blogs and watching our Twit coverage that you guys were doing this morning, and all the live bloggers are going, wait, I think he's serious. I think we're supposed to, are we doing?
It was interesting to see.
I don't want to put my computer down.
The pausing of the live blogs, like, I'm not stopping. But, yeah. Well,
they're actually telling us to put our laptops down at our feet?
Yeah.
This is... seemed a little awkward, at least for a short time.
Do you think his apologetic or sort of attacking competition right out of the gate had more to do with the audience he was preaching to? Because you've got developers, and the developers are all super interested in the Android platform and that emerging technology. And I feel like he was saying to them, you know, whoa, slow down. We still have the great tools. We still have the best platforms. Yeah. Right. Don't leave us. I felt like that was where some of that defensiveness was coming from to me.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, there is other news happening in the tech world today, and one of them is Amazon patenting one-nod ordering. We're going to get to that story in a few more in a second, but first let me tell you about our sponsor, Slingbox. This episode is brought to you by Slingbox, of course. They let you watch your home TV anywhere you go on board. Portable devices like iPhones, iPod Touch, via Wi-Fi, BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook. What you do is you go to Best Buy, you buy a Slingbox, and you bring it home. Then you plug it into your TV, and you plug it into the internet. And you're done. Now you can watch it on your mobile phone, your laptop, wherever you go. Take your laptop to a hotel while you're out traveling. Realize, oh my gosh, I missed this show because it's on earlier in this time zone, but I still want to watch it in the evening. No problem. Catch it off your DVR at Slingbox. It accesses all the TV that you get at home, anything you record on your DVR, all the same shows you watch on TV. No extra fees, nothing like that. Just check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit. Now, this first story is actually Apple related, but it's related to a lot of companies too, not just Apple. Foxconn has been under fire because of a wave of suicides. It's a Shenzhen, China plant. And we should be quick to point out that, you know, we've talked about how it is a huge company, 800,000 employees. And so the rate of suicide is actually fairly similar to the rate of suicide elsewhere, just in the general populace.
Sort of population,
but yeah. The company is reacting to a lot of the criticism, and they say they plan to increase pay to 2,000 yuan. That's $293 from $1,200, which is $176, an increase of about 67%.
That's a monthly wage,
yeah.
Too. That is...
So it's a small wage.
Put things into perspective,
but
yeah.
It's a big increase, and it follows last week's 30% pay raise. Now, Scott, you said you've been to Foxconn before.
Yeah, back in 2000, so it's been a while. So, you know, I don't know how much has changed, but when I was in China, I spent some time at a Foxconn factory, and my impression of the place was really clean, super, you know, tightly managed, but really, really oppressive and depressing. And again, 10 years ago, I don't know how things have changed. Maybe they've been, maybe they've gotten worse. Maybe they've gotten better. I don't know. But it just, I remember having this distinct feeling leaving that factory as compared to other factories we visited, feeling like that place was just iron rod all day, all the time, and not a really great place to work. And there weren't, there were no smiles. There was no talking. There was no anything. It was just very, you know, straight up and down. Nobody move an inch outside of your assembly line or whatever. It was a strange, strange place to hang out and be.
You kind of get the sense that Foxconn is well aware of this, too. It's like, last week they raised pay 30%. Okay. There have been more suicides. Now they say, okay, well, we'll raise it another 67. I mean, usually companies are not quick to do things like that's pretty drastic. Okay, let's keep raising wages because it sounds, Scott, it's, I mean, it sounds like things haven't changed that much since the last time you were there 10 years ago.
Yeah, and who knows for sure? It just sounds like this is... this is a response. I mean, the way Tom puts it, the numbers, the statistics are really aren't the big thing here. The big thing here is that we are now this international business community and every little thing gets heard everywhere. And in 2000, it wasn't so much that way. You could get away with a lot in a far reaching part of Shenzhen in the middle of China, southern China, and not worry about it. But we live in a different time now and every little thing gets sent to everybody. And before you know it, Steve Jobs himself is talking about it in an email or something. And it's, it, you know, you just, it's, the time has gone where we can just sort of not hear about this stuff and have it swept nicely under the rug.
Federal Jobs officials
talked about it.
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to mention,
ahead.
Tom, that Steve Jobs did talk about it at the D conference, and there's video of him talking about it. And he says he has, you know, taken a personal interest in it. And he actually related it to the suicide clusters that are happening in Silicon Valley, where this is a known phenomenon where people replicate suicides. And it's incredibly sad, but it's happening in an affluent neighborhood in Palo Alto and across the world in an Apple factory. And there's no excuse or justifying any of this, but it is a parallel that Steve Jobs drew.
Federal officials have arrested an Army intelligence analyst who boasted of giving classified U.S. combat video to WikiLeaks. You may have heard of the forward operating base. Let's see. He was giving video from a U.S. helicopter airstrike in Baghdad that had claimed the lives of several innocent civilians, including a couple of Reuters reporters. This was very famous. He's also responsible for the video of the Guarani airstrike being shown on WikiLeaks and a previously unreported breach consisting of 260,000 classified U.S. diplomatic cables that our analyst here, his name is Manning, Bradley Manning, he's described as exposing almost criminal political back dealings. He was talking to Adrian Lamo about these leaks, and Lamo, who himself is, you know,
a former hacker,
and well known in the community, and probably somewhat supportive of the need to leak out information to expose corruption, was taken aback by this 260,000 classified U.S. diplomatic cables, says he agonized over it and eventually went to the government and said, look, this guy is going to leak all this stuff to WikiLeaks. You need to go after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to Lamo, people get a hold of him all the time and tell him very sensitive information. He says he's never told, so to speak, on anyone before, but this seemed like a matter of life and death, and he felt that that was his duty.
Sounds like a Matt Damon movie to me. I would watch that movie. Sounds good.
Yeah, it does have a lot of spy appeal to it. Now, Wired.com, which is running this story, couldn't confirm whether WikiLeaks has actually received the 260,000 classified embassy dispatches or not. But Manning has been taken into custody, so he's not going to be leaking anything more. It's a tricky situation because WikiLeaks, a lot of people feel, is a very useful and good thing as far as being a venue for whistleblowers, right, to bring accusations that would otherwise get them in trouble or just not be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can go too far. And so when Lamo came into possession of this information, that's something where you really have got to start racking your brain. Like, I don't know if this is, you know, I trust the impulse to leak stuff out and stop corruption, but this could actually cause more harm than good. And if you're starting to put troops in harm's way or undermine the safety of government officials, U.S. citizens, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, this is not some sort of a, look what I got, let's high five, you know, this classified information. You know, and I guess they were chatting over IM. And I mean, I guess that he must have considered Adrian, you know, a friend, a confidant, somebody that he felt comfortable sharing a lot of the stuff with. But boy, I don't know. I don't think that would have been my method of sharing.
The agents did certainly tell Lamo that he may be asked to testify against Manning. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was particularly interested in information Manning gave Lamo about an apparently sensitive military cybersecurity matter. And that's probably the thing that may have tipped Lamo off. Who knows? Amazon seeking a one-nod ordering patent. This would be using your camera in your computer to recognize gestures like making a nod, smiling, raising an eyebrow, and movement recognition as input mechanism would turn that movement into a purchase.
All right, so it's Tom, like you buying something really expensive at the auction house.
If you raise your eyebrow at the price, like all of a sudden you bought it.
All of a sudden you bought it.
Yeah.
And then you have to do a quick backward hand slapping, no, cancel. You have 30 seconds.
That's the second patent they're trying to get is the manically waving the arms cancel.
That means you cancel your order.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's avocado here, all right? What if this means that they would lock down the ability to sell things via gesture on Wii's and Project Natal's by patenting this?
Well, or force a license, you know, force Microsoft to pay Amazon in order to nod to buy in the Xbox Live store. Is that what you're saying?
Or they create their own marketplace and they're the only people who have the technology to harness gesture through those devices that are exclusively gesture. So,
well, it's not that far flung from the truth in video games. I mean, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo still pay royalties to a company, a third-party company whose name escapes me, who designed the original Rumble Pack technology for these stupid controllers. And now anytime you make Rumble Pack in your controller, they're paying a chunk of change for every controller sold and every system sold to folks who designed the thing. So it's not that far from the truth. I just think they're so far along with these other technologies. Natal's been in the works for quite a while now. I doubt Amazon will be the ones that'll raise their hand and say, whoa, slow down, we're the patent holder here, you need to pay us a royalty every time you use this. It could maybe go the other way around, but certainly, you know, Amazon's been known to do this before. The one click buying was theirs. So who knows? That's an interesting theory though, because there is some precedent in the games business for sure.
And it's got more than just nodding to confirm a purchase. I mean, we assume that it says, do you want to buy this? And you nod as if you were clicking okay. But if the user wishes to buy more than one item, the user can indicate a quantity to be purchased by holding up a number of fingers. In other embodiments, a user can create a motion-based password, such as a series of motions that must be performed by the user to confirm an action such as a purchase.
That's awesome.
This
if
seems
instead of having
really
a passphrase,
confusing.
You have a dance sequence.
Yeah.
You have to do the Macarena if you want a new webcam.
My interpretive dance password.
Tom, you and I have talked about before that one of the things we like about patents is the artwork that they use for these patent submissions. This is one of my favorites, actually. And I know anyone listening to this and not seeing the video is not going to be able to, you know, appreciate this. But those faces and the way that they sort of portray this stuff and that ancient computer they're connected to, I love patent.
They did not spare any expense in the artwork, did they?
Oh, yeah, it's a desktop model. Look at that.
Yeah. That's a Packard Bell, I think.
That's Jason Voorhees.
That is.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Ski mask.
Oh, you're right.
That's really scary.
HP wants to bring printing from your mobile device to their printers. They're going to unveil a new line of printers with their own email addresses, allowing people to print from devices such as smartphones and tablets. It's a good idea. What if you start getting spam on your printer?
I don't want printer spam, but I sure like the idea of emailing it to the printer of my choice and not having to figure out how to connect them some other weird way. Yeah.
Could you set it up so it said, all right, only accept email from my address, so my from address.
Whitelisted, okay.
Yeah.
Do that, and then you've got me sold, because then I could send it PDFs and have it automatically poop those PDFs out. There's all kinds of reasons I would be all over this, but I would have to be able to lock it down to either my address or a select number of people's address, and that's it. No further than that.
Yeah,
That'd be great for iPad, too, because right now I'm just putting the iPad straight down on the scanner and just printing from there. Just kidding. But, I mean, seriously, we're thinking about it.
I thought about that for a second. Oh, is that how we do it?
It makes sense. It makes sense. I can get that. They've been touting this sort of computerless printing for a while, and the ones that they've shown before also have a screen on them so that you can browse right from the printer itself. I don't know if this will have that same functionality, but it definitely seems like, especially that networked printers are a real challenge for people, for some people. I think that anything that makes it easier is better.
You could print from an iPad with this. That's got a lot of people excited.
I mean, would there be any, we're talking about, we all agree that it would be great if you could just, you know, put in 5 email addresses. These are the only, points of sending. This is my very technical speak. Would there be any reason to not restrict that? I mean, would there ever be any thing positive that comes out of having a printer that would be open from any email address? I mean, I just can't think of any.
Well, it would mean you wouldn't have to be on your own email account to send something to print.
Right.
Or you could, you know, if you run into a friend who's got pictures, you could say, oh, email them to my printer so I can print them out. But
I guess that's true.
But those are pretty rare cases.
Right.
In those cases, they could send you the thing and then you could print it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what's more exciting and less risky is PhotoFast, a webcam for the iPad. And this has got Sarah very excited.
I'm very excited. My first reaction was, oh, this is kind of janky. You know, you're plugging in a webcam to your iPad, and you need a stand, and it's separate. And the integrated camera that we all expect will eventually be rolled out in the next iPads would be better. But then I thought about it a little more, and it's like, I think I prefer this. You have more control over the angle that you'd be shooting yourself with. We all wouldn't be straight on holding our iPads in front of our faces, which is, I mean, if it's an integrated camera, I mean, we have this problem with our eyesights right now. We all look the same, and it's kind of this sort of weird angle. So I like the idea of having a camera. It is a little, you have to get a little creative, but, you know, get a stack of books, and all of a sudden you're in business. Bunch of different camera angles. It's not a terrible camera, although it's not coming out till later this year,
if ever.
So they say.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, if I had it today, I'd be really happy. Right now, it's just a good idea.
The Engadget story here also says they're working on an iPad TV tuner and a dock that reads flash memory. So all kinds of connections that would add functionality to the tablet.
Which I think that's, you know, it's inevitable that people are going to try to be as creative as possible, because as much as I love the iPad, and I do, it is limited, and there's a lot of stuff I want it to do that it doesn't yet.
I was really excited about the camera connection kit that I bought. $29 from Apple. It took forever to get here, like 3.5 weeks delayed. And I was so excited to get it. I thought, it's only $30, and look, I can do an SD card, or I can plug it right into USB. I was so excited to take cameras from my SLR and just take them straight to the iPad. And then it occurred to me, and other people reminded me, this is functionality that, A, the iPad should probably already have, and B, will probably be included in an upcoming revision.
Yeah.
And so I get super excited about these kind of peripherals, but I worry that in a year from now, when there is a new iPad under the tree, it's going to have all that, and I'm going to have wasted that, you know, couple hundred dollars on accessories during the year.
Exactly.
There's always a new beer coming out. That doesn't mean you shouldn't drink the six-pack in the fridge.
I like wise, the way Becky thinks.
Wise words, Becky Worley.
I'm telling you. I have wisdom I can share with you. Just let it go.
How about thermoelectric galoshes?
Whoa. Yes. How about them?
These are boots that charge your cell phone using the heat from your feet. Thermoelectric modules in the sole convert temperature differences between the cold ground and your warm foot into electric voltage. So it's not pedal power. It's not because you're walking around. It's because your feet are hot.
Well, how cold does the ground have to be?
It doesn't have to be very cold.
On a nice warm day in Jamaica, are these Wellingtons going to be charging my iPhone?
Well, the Wellingtons aren't going to be charging your iPhone on a hot beach because the beach is actually hotter than... Well, but there's a temperature difference.
It might
work the other way if your foot is the cold thing. It's the temperature difference, apparently.
It's the temperature difference, but it sounds like, you know, England is the right place to have these boots to charge your phone.
Cold. Yeah, and the solar backpack's not happening there. So I think this is actually an apt call, especially for all those sheep herders, a.k.a. shepherds out there.
It made its debut at the Glastonbury Festival, because what they figure is people walking around, their feet get all hot walking around these festivals, And then they can charge their phones up and keep twittering and text messaging all their friends.
Yeah, in the muddy ground, and you got the boots, and so it's a win-win. You know, when I first read the headline, I thought, oh gosh, wearable stuff is always
usually pretty ugly.
It's usually pretty ugly, or somehow it's more complicated than it needs to be. And I looked at these boots, and I went, I'd wear these. I love this idea. As long as your cord is long enough so that you can put it in your pocket or something and not have a tug, I'm all over it.
So you'd buy these?
I would totally buy these.
All right.
I have.
Damn,
I'm always
for men and women, or just are they just for the ladies?
I think it's one size fits all.
Mm.
They're sort of big.
Well, maybe not one size, but one style.
Boots.
They're just big black boots.
Yeah.
They're not lady or men.
No.
Stop being sexist.
Right.
Well, they give you a free 10-pack of fast actin, tenactin to carry around with you just in case.
Dr. Scholl's has some great inserts, Scott.
All right. I'm buying it. I'll wear those lady boots.
We're all wearing the Wellingtons. Done.
Speaking of your tenactin reference, I have to say that I came up with an iPad hack that I'm very proud of. This weekend I was playing the Wii Rule, and I don't know if I had like clammy hands or it was hot or something, but I couldn't get very good accuracy on the pad. So on the iPad, so I put baby powder on my fingers, and I was like a surgeon on that thing. I could move my little houses around. The baby powder was amazing. So I posted this on Twitter, and of course, all the dudes who follow were like I have baby powder around. So you could use your tenactin, your jock itch powder, your cornstarch. Just saying. Next time you need some pinpoint accuracy on your iPad.
Some kind of
get
fine
out the jock itch
powder. Yeah. Little jock itch powder on your fingers makes you really good at Wii Rule.
That's right. You may want to get the greasy stuff off the screen first, because then it starts to look like fried chicken. So, you know, whatever. Just trust me on this.
All right. On to the emails. You can call us, by the way. Send us voicemails, 260-TNT-SHOW, or email us, tnt@twit.tv. We got one from Steven here. He says, hey, guys, saw this on Engadget this morning. And it is a link to an article about the Evo 4G overtaking Palm for the best-selling launch day on Sprint.
Look at the Evo go.
Steven says, not bad for a device designed to use a network that is still somewhat limited in the country. Keep up the great work, guys. Loving the stuff.
Mm. So how limited is the network right now? I mean, what is the coverage just ridiculously bad, or is it?
Well,
it's
not that it's bad. It's that you only get WiMAX in a half dozen cities, I think.
Yeah, it's Seattle, Philadelphia, Dallas,
Chicago.
I mean, big cities.
Las Vegas,
Portland, I think is the newest. And I think even Honolulu was on that list.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think they do have WiMAX there.
No New York or San Francisco.
Or LA.
A lot of other cities can enjoy it.
So LA. Yeah, it's not about it's that you can't take advantage of the fast part of the Evo in a lot of places. But 22,000 sales locations across the United States, and it's
a hit.
Pummeled the pre.
It's a hit.
Which, yeah, you know what? That's just.
I haven't seen a pre in a long time. I don't know about you guys. I just haven't seen a pre in the wild in and I don't know how long.
I have a friend who has one, so I see that one all the time. But outside of that, no.
Would you like to name the friend?
Yvonne.
Okay.
What?
It's not me. I wasn't trying to.
I have a friend who uses a pre. So
I don't
that
I don't want
friend.
To name her. I don't want to embarrass her. She uses a pre. No. It's nothing to be ashamed of using a pre.
No.
It isn't.
It's not.
You should use it proudly.
I just don't see a lot of them anymore.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the only one I see, because I see that person all the time. But so anyway, good for Sprint. Although, does this say that they just haven't ever sold phones very well?
Does it also say that the pre was just never all that great in the first place? And yeah, I mean, it seems more like that's the answer. And maybe when that thing goes, well, I guess the HP owns it now.
D-Dog in the chat room says he asked a Sprint rep on Friday, and the rep said most of the people who bought the Evo were pre-customers.
Oh, that hurts. That's a pretty quick cycle.
Yeah.
R.I. pre.
I'm sorry.
It just came out.
I love Palm in the day. I just feel bad that they're in this spot they're in, and now they got to be some weird iPack or whatever's going to happen with it. I don't like that at all.
The H-Pre.
H-Pre.
That's good.
Hewlett Packard.
Better than my R.I.P. H-Pre. New life.
Hey, Tom, do you have any interest in checking out the water that I'm drinking right here?
What is that water that you're drinking? Is that Farmville water?
What's up with Farmville water? Nobody told me about this.
Where did you get that?
What is that?
It's water that's branded Farmville, and it's Farmville purified water from 7-Eleven. I had no idea.
That is
ridiculous.
I kind
of freaked out a little bit, but I had to bring it on the show because
what does the water taste like?
Is it good? Clean?
Luckily, it does not taste like cows or runoff from fields and streams.
Good.
But
that's good.
I had to bust out some Farmville water, especially since now we've got Farmville for the iPhone.
That we didn't talk about that. Yeah, that was another one of the announcements. Netflix for the iPhone, Farmville for the iPhone. So
and Farmville water at 7-Eleven.
That's weird.
Can you buy it in game?
What? I'm so confused.
I think it's the other way around. You buy the water at 7-Eleven, and also the big gulp cups are Farmville branded, and then there's codes you can use at Farmville.
Nichols says there are Farmville Slurpees at 7-Eleven.
Weird.
Yeah. And now there's Farmville water that tastes a little like watered down Farmville Slurpees, I'm guessing.
Yummy.
Water's always better in Farmville.
All right, we got one more email. Sarah, you want to handle that one?
Yeah, so this was in response to a conversation we had on Friday about putting in electric charging stations for electric cars to kind of try to stimulate that whole section of the economy. Hi, guys. I was a little disappointed with your coverage of the car charging story. Yay for charging, though it's far from the first of these projects announced. Hawaii signed up for this about a year ago to get Oahu filled with electric charge stations. It's more the concerns about charging. He doesn't remember the exact statistics, but something around 90% of Americans travel less than 100 miles a day, even taking into account unexpected trips, which is nicely in the range of a large majority of electric cars. So for most people, all they need is an electric point at home, plug the car in overnight, and you're done. We're so used to needing to refuel cars, it's hard to break out of that mindset. But for most, it's not really necessary. That's from Paul. He calls himself the electrifying Brit in Hawaii.
I know Paul.
You do?
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Hi, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
I think, okay, so Paul, good point. I we're commuting quite a bit. I'm not driving more than 100 miles a day. I'm driving about 80 miles a day.
Yeah.
I mean, if I don't do anything once I go back home.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem my immediate reaction is, Paul, you're probably right. That most of us don't need to charge our cars, within a day of normal traveling. And at least, even if you work the night shift or something, you're going to have an extended period where you could charge your car while you're home sleeping or doing whatever you're doing. But it does take out the spontaneity of life somehow to know that you can't just get in the car and drive and make, some sort of a long trip without having to kind of plan your life around this rigid charging schedule. Kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
I used to have a compressed natural gas car that had a limited round trip area.
Yeah.
And I think it was 210 miles. It was really hard for me, but I can see it because it was my only car. But when you have two cars in the family, this is a no-brainer. You got one car that's your road trip car, and you got the other car that's your just commuter car. Mm-hmm. I totally get this.
All right.
That's exactly what we do in our household. We have the one that goes far and the other one that doesn't. But to me, putting limits on yourself with a car is a lot like having caps and bandwidth. You hate the idea, but technically you don't use that much.
Right.
It's why people don't like taxes on the rich, because even if they aren't rich, they want to be rich someday. They don't want to be taxed when they get rich. It's the same thing. I may not drive more than 100 miles more a day, but someday I might want to drive 1,000 miles in a day.
And who are you to tell me that I can't just drive east?
You crazy electric car.
6 days
in a row. You tell me I can't drive 1,000 miles
today. Go get some Farmville water and get on the road.
That's right. Pack up that Farmville. All right. Scott Johnson, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you dropping in. Tell the folks where they can find your fine work online.
Well, absolutely. Since today was so Apple-ish, they can actually find one of the shows I produce called App Slappy at appslappy.com. We talk all about the App Store and that whole addiction on apps. You can check that out at appslappy.com. All of my shows and everything I have going on, including Stuff with Tom, can be found at frogpants.com.
Becky and Sarah, good to have you guys along again.
Good to be here.
Week number 2 of Tech News Today. Folks, you can find all the information about our show at twit.tv/TNT. And a lot of people are looking for the show notes. If you want the show notes, there's a link there to the wiki. And it says something like, help build the wiki. You don't have to help build the wiki if you click on it, though. There's no moral obligation. It will take you to the wiki, and then the show notes will be there. So you just got to click through to there. Well, I'll try to maybe tweak that wording, make it a little more clear. You can give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. Leave us a voicemail, or send us an MP3 or a link to a YouTube video or something if you want to have a video call. And that email address is tnt@twit.tv. Thanks to Leo for letting us be on the network. Thanks to Eric for producing today. And
I believe we have a special song to play us out.
Oh, right. Yes, I found this song the other day and just thought it would be appropriate for today. It's called Blue Lego, parentheses, Steve Jobs Hates Flash. By John Anilio. See you next time.
Bye.
I'm home all alone. I pick up my phone. I tap the screen and launch Safari. I navigate to a page and I'm sent into a rage. I wanted fun, but now I'm sorry. I check the address of the site and I know that it's right. But the only thing I see is a I see a blue Lego. I wanna see a video, but the only thing I see is a blue Lego. I see a blue Lego. I wanna see a video, but I can't because Steve Jobs hates Flash.
And an addendum to today's episode before we finish up. Apple has just released Safari 5. They didn't want to announce it in the keynote today, but Why? They did release Safari 5, the latest version of the world's fastest and most innovative web browser. Thanks to everybody in the chat room for pointing out the press release. So if you want a new version of Safari that's very HTML5 compliant and can do all those wonderful HTML5 things like you saw in their gallery, go download it now. That's it. That's
breaking
it.
News.
That's it for Tech News Today. See you next time.
Safari 5.